I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, listen to the John and Ken on demand podcast and listen to whatever you missed. In fact, we have just years worth of podcasts you can listen to all weekend long, all night long, all summer long.
Wow. We got another keyword in 15 minutes. It'll be revealed. It's the last on this show, but there'll be more on Tim Conway Jr.'s show coming up after 4 o'clock. You could win some money. KFI's Inflation Compensation Contest. And we've got two rounds of the Moist Line. Our listeners are back. We'll see what they're going to rant about coming up in the first round just after we play the keyword at 3:20. Now, we take some time to look at a very dangerous piece of legislation up in Sacramento. It's Senate Bill 94. It's the work of State Senator Dave Cortese from Santa Clara. Quote, it would give the state's worst, most heinous murderers who have been sentenced to death or life without the possibility of parole the opportunity to have their sentences invalidated and make them eligible for parole. We talked about this a couple of months ago with Michael Rushford of the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, and that's whose quote I just read. But we're going to talk about it now with somebody who's in the business of criminal justice. We're going to talk to the Tulare County District Attorney, Tim Ward, who wants to warn anybody and everybody about the danger of this piece of legislation if it passes and Newsom signs it.
Tim, how are you? Welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me, and thank you for bringing some attention to this. I'm shocked that with everything coming out of Sacramento, isn't it interesting that no one's hearing about this bill being talked about? So thank you for covering it.
Yeah, there is almost no media coverage on this, in the mainstream media at least. Explain the details of this bill, because this sounds horrendous.
Yeah, and it is. So the reality is this is yet another early release scheme that is being put towards the law-abiding citizens of the state that would, in its written form, allow an individual that is convicted of murder and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole to have their sentence altered, and we'll talk about that. And often, it's talked about there are two qualifications for it. One, the offense occurred before June 1990, and a second, the individual served at least 25 years in custody. However, one of the things I want to, and I know you were talking about it earlier, one of the things I want to question you on, show me in the actual language of the law where the word and occurs anywhere with those two sections. It's not there. Everyone's talking about it as an and, but the administration, the legislature will not make this a non-vague law and insert either clarifying language that both must occur or it truly is an and. And as you know, once bills are passed, it's the plain language that comes into effect. But let's say it is both of those, what it allows is for a judge to basically do three things. They could resentence the person to life with the possibility of parole, or they can modify the sentence to a lesser included offense, let's say first-degree murder down to second-degree murder or down to voluntary manslaughter, or what I think is really a disgusting affront to our jurors and the system. A judge can actually vacate the entire conviction and impose a charge that was never posed as a pending charge. They can create a legal charge and sentence the person to that. So if you think about the incredible discretion that a judge would have now to completely vitiate a prior jury's verdict, vitiate a charging prosecutor's office decision to charge a certain crime, vitiate a jury's decision that found the defendant guilty of that crime, a judge can now change a home invasion, robbery, heinous murder to grand theft. There's nothing in the law that would prohibit that. It's an incredible affront to victims and survivors that have had to endure the daily loss of their loved one, and yet they're now posed with the option that there is no truth in sentencing, that life without the policy or that life without the possibility of parole doesn't mean that anymore.
What you're describing is many different ways to release a killer immediately.
Absolutely. You know, again, it is an early release social experiment. It's designed to enhance the lives of murderers, and it's going to be born on the backs of families who are forced to every day live with the loss of their loved one for no fault of their own. Our jurors years ago dedicated their time to their civic duty, and now this is the legislature saying what they did doesn't matter anymore. If you're a prosecutor and you've done a death penalty trial, which I have, the jury will hear an instruction that life without the possibility of parole means that you are not to speculate that the person could be released. Well, now that's a legal fiction if this bill passes.
You posted on social media some of the criminals from your county, Tulare County. Yeah. Who would be affected potentially by this change in the law, including a really famous one, Joseph James D'Angelo, known as the Golden State Killer, convicted of murdering 13 people in the 70s and 80s, and currently serving multiple life without parole sentences. So that could be manipulated under this law, and D'Angelo would get out immediately?
Well, it's the first version of the bill that was put forward. Absolutely. There were no exclusions for the types of killers. However, as I understand, just last week, after the bill passed in that form from the Senate into the Assembly has watered it down a little bit, and they've created three exclusions. So anyone that was sentenced to death is no longer eligible. Anyone that actually killed three or more people is no longer eligible. And if in conjunction with the murder, they were found guilty of a sexual assault, and it lists a number of sexual offenses. Forgive me, I can't remember. Those individuals would be excluded. So I think under the new interpretation, it would be subject to debate whether the Golden State Killer would in fact be eligible. But let's look at who is potentially eligible. A person with a prior murder conviction, a person who either plants or mails a bomb and it goes off and kills someone, that person would not be excluded. Murdering a witness to a crime, a judge, a prosecutor even. And I am shocked that hate crimes, which are eligible for special circumstance murder, death penalty, or LWOP, are not excluded as someone that can get relief. So you can do a heinous hate crime and be eligible.
I'm just still shocked that the original version of the bill coming out of the Senate would allow serial killers to be released.
Absolutely. There were no requirement, no restrictions.
But now it's you can't have killed more than three. Is that what you said?
Yeah, two apparently is not so insensitive to run afoul of the moral constituency in Sacramento, but three is.
I'd love to hear the debate. All this started because they always told us, well, we should get rid of the death penalty. Life without parole is sufficient. This person will never see freedom. But you can see what's happened over the years. Now they want to chip away with this bill and release people after 25. And there's some DAs, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Tim, that think 15 to 20 years is enough.
Yeah, right. I mean, Gascon is the leading supporter of this kind of
nonsense. He thinks any crime, 15 to 20 years is enough time served. Where they come up with this crap, I don't know.
So Tulare County has an example of why this bill is not needed. Years ago in 1987, a woman by the name of June Gravely was sentenced to or convicted of murder here in Tulare County. The jury determined that death was the appropriate verdict. However, the trial judge here at the time, I believe it was in 1990, the trial judge refused to impose the death penalty and gave her life without the possibility of parole. Governor Jerry Brown commuted her sentence and made her eligible for parole. So as late as 2019, we had to appear and argue for her release. So if you think about it, there already are mechanisms for LWOP prisoners to get parole. It's burdensome, I will say, in all fairness, but this bill is not needed.
It's like you said, it's vague. Well, thank you so much for talking to us and bringing this to further attention.
Yeah, what's the status at the moment? It's before the assembly?
As I understand it, it's still in the assembly, and how this made it through appropriations, I can never understand. It's in the assembly. Obviously, it'll have to go back into the Senate. But this, we feel that the administration is going to support this.
You think Newsom's going to run for president on this?
Well, look, you know, Newsom's created a world here in California where consequences for evil murderers, their behavior, it keeps getting reduced to test some hypothesis that crime is somehow not the fault of the actual criminal. I mean, how many times has the legislature under this administration taken that stance? And Newsom signed every one of those laws into effect.
All right, we're going to keep this highest priority to track this bill.
Sure, we'll maybe be talking to you again. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for keeping the word up. Thanks for doing what you do.
All right, that's Tulare County District Attorney Tim Ward bringing to our attention Senate Bill 94 is the name of it, which could release murderers. If they've served 25 years and committed the murder before June 5th of 1990, but he says the law is vague. This is how they chip away. This is how they empty the prisons. And they've emptied the prisons so much, John, you're right. They're down to the murderers. So they're figuring out ways to release the murderers.
In May, they were going to let out the serial killers.
They used COVID-19 to release so many people.
They were going to let out the serial killers.
Right. They amended the bill so you can only be eligible if you committed up to two or three people killed. All right, coming up next, the Moist Line, and also your chance at some money with a keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we got some great audio coming up after the news at 5:30 from a couple of big political figures. But right now, let's open the door for the Moist Line people. Oof. They have not been here in a couple of weeks.
It smells like that Air France flight.
Those RVs in Sylmar. You can use the iHeartRadio app or call this toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86.
Hey, this is John.
And this is Ken.
We're so excited to hear from you. It's about time.
Guys, have you heard the latest edict from Sacramento? During the coming zombie apocalypse, you cannot call zombies. You have to call them people experiencing zombification.
No,
you don't want to offend a zombie.
Just a 4th of July thought. Founding fathers, and yes, they were the founding fathers, not the founding people, not the founding it. They said that nothing from outside of the country, the borders, would be able to take this country down, but this country could be taken down from within, and that's exactly what's happening.
I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Independence Day, not July 4th. July 4th is a day on the calendar. We don't celebrate days of the calendar. We celebrate the independence and the birth of our nation. So stop calling it 4th of July. No, it's Independence Day. Happy birthday, America.
Yeah, I heard another busload of migrants came into L.A. the other day, I guess, to Union Station. And I also find it ironic that people working in the motels went on strike. Well, hell, guys. All these motel people need to do is just tell these bus drivers, drop them off here. We'll put them to work.
Hey, everybody, party in the White House. Hey, I think maybe Hunter was trying to turn his dad onto the party scene. Who knows? Who cares? Party on!
I'm so happy that the whole group is back.
I do believe the Beatles, back in the 60s, wrote California's new state song, and it's called Taxman. Check it out, because they tax everything in that song.
Sounds like Hunter Biden came for a little visit there.
Welcome back. While you were on vacation, the Supreme Court of the United States made some fantastic decisions and really is the only branch of government functioning right now.
It's time to call out Deborah Mark. You guys had the conversation about how vegans and vegetarians pass more gas than us normal people, which is true. But of course, she chimed in saying she's the exception to the rule. So if that's the case, why does she drive around with the top down on her car over there? Makes you wonder.
And I'm really fed up with all these people striking. You know, what the hell's next? Who's next going to strike? Who is next? Everybody wants a little bit more. When's it going to stop? What the hell's going on?
You guys have got it all wrong. The fireworks are bad for animals, they're bad for the environment, and they produce terrible quality of air.
Gender fluid poetry? Oh my God, that is so classic. That is going in my argument.
I'm listening to you guys right now about people not paying back their student loans, which I don't think they should at all. And you're saying that they don't have degrees worth of. Of course they're not worth a because they're not a real degree. It's brainwashing.
Advantage slots or beatable slots have multiple game states that persist after the person plays. They're also called banking slots. They bank various symbols or credits or free games, and then they give those games or those values when certain things hit. And if you find it in a profitable state, they can have a very high advantage, and there's lots of them.
You are on right track with homelessness. Yes. I guess we are going to end up having maybe 10 to 20% of homeless people in streets the way that Democrats are running this country.
You know, all these higher institutions of learning, all they have to do is on their application forms omit race, color, and ethnicity on the application forms and just make the cuts based on eligibility. Now, with that said, as long as the human element is involved, there will always be racism, just the way the world operates.
I heard you describing the talking voice behind your house, I believe it was, and you couldn't figure out who it may have been. When you did the impression, I thought you were going to say that John popped up out of a bush because your impression sounded just like him.
Thank you for leaving the message. Please hang up. Goodbye.
It did sound like you a bit.
I thought you were doing me too.
Yeah, you had shown up outside my house just to start a monologue.
That's right.
You missed being on the air, so you were
right.
Going to just stand there in the street.
Walking around without my pants.
All right, there you go. That's Moist Line Part 1. There's more of these people coming up at the end of the show around 5:50. When we return, some audio you got to hear from Kamala Harris and from Joe Biden's press secretary spokeshole. One's about the cocaine found in the White House. The other's about how do you define culture? Who do you think answered that question? It's coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Never thought about that top down all the time.
That's right. She blows them out.
It's not for that reason. I'm just going to say that.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
when I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 till 4 after 4, the John and Ken on demand podcast on the iHeart app, so you could catch up on what you missed and spend the weekend with us. Listen to as many old episodes as you want.
Yeah, today's show, though, has been packed. We're not quite done. We'll have another round of the Moist Line in about 15 minutes. But now we turn for some audio we thought you might enjoy. We begin with none other than the Vice President, Kamala Harris. She was at the 2023 Essence Festival of Culture. Essence, of course, is described as a monthly lifestyle magazine covering fashion, beauty, entertainment, and culture written for African-American women. So you can imagine why they wanted Kamala Harris to come to their conference and speak. And since it is called the Festival of Culture, hang on, we may be playing this audio more than once. She was asked to define culture. Here's what came out.
Well, I think culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too.
I think it's marijuana.
It's all right.
I'm beginning to really wonder.
That's what I've been saying. Oh,
I know you've been saying nobody can spout something like that who's actually a public figure. How is that possible?
She's stoned. She has to be.
Yes, that reminds me of somebody that's really high. It's 3 a.m.
I try to be
just
profound.
Kind of lying there, going, just all sorts of word blurbs come out.
You know what we got to do, Eric? We got to get clips of her when she was lucid, because I remember it. I remember in the run-up to the 2020 election, early on, I thought she was kind of scary as a possible candidate. I really did. Yeah. And maybe if you could find a clip for next week of her interrogating Brett Kavanaugh, because she really went at him for
But isn't she kind of reading from a script of questions? Off the top of her head stuff that really gets crazy.
Maybe that was it. Maybe she had the questions prepared. But even in the early debates before she went after Joe Biden on busing, I just thought she was sharp and smart. And now,
culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. The part that really got me that I stared at for a while, because, quote, you know, it comes in the morning. What is that? Some of what she said makes
sense. Morning.
Yeah, it comes in the morning. What? She says that is a reflection of joy because, you know, it comes in the morning. I don't get that at all. I'm completely befuddled.
Could you play it again? I want to, like, try to like
dissect it.
Diagram this, yeah.
Well, I think culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time.
Stop there. A reflection of our moment in our time.
Okay, that one I kind of understand. If you think about culture and you're trying to define the American culture today, mm-hmm. she's trying to say that's where we are right now if you want to think about culture in those terms. It's how we're living our life today, I guess. But then it really goes off the deep end. Listen to all this.
Right. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because it comes in the morning.
They laughed.
They have no idea
what they're laughing at, because it was a delay. They just felt it was polite to laugh with her.
Right. She's laughing, so we all laugh, too. The vice president's laughing. Hey, you, laugh. Come on, chuckle, giggle, something. She's being funny here. She's laughing. We all have to laugh.
Comes in the morning.
Is that a phrase that means something that I'm not aware of?
She got stuck on the word moment. I think it's in here 5 times in this clip we played or something. The moment.
Yeah.
I used to keep saying the moment. All right. Well, we move on to the other story or the other piece of audio. Quite different. This is about the cocaine found in the White House. Story won't go. The Republicans are trying to make a big thing of this. They want answers from the Secret Service. Who left that bag of cocaine in the White House in the West Wing? Apparently it was left there. It was discovered Sunday night. And of course, the inside story is it's Hunter Biden. Don't you all know that? So today, the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked about it by reporters. Here's what happened.
I'm just asking again, can we just say once and for all whether or not the cocaine belonged to the Biden family?
So
they're laughing.
A couple of things there. He mentioned the Hatch Act because the question was posed to him using Donald Trump, and so he was trying to be very mindful. I hear you, but you're asking me a question, so I'm answering it for you. And so that's why he said the Hatch Act. So I would have you read the transcript and read the transcript fully so you can see exactly what he was trying to say. So that's number one. So we're not avoiding the question. That is not true. We've answered this question, litigated this question for the last 2 days exhaustively. There has been some irresponsible reporting about the family. And so I got to call that out here. And I have been very clear. I was clear 2 days ago when talking about this over and over again.
What is she talking about?
Asked the question, as you know, and media outlets reported this.
The Biden
family was not here.
They
were not here. They were at Camp David. They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is actually incredibly irresponsible. And I'll just leave it there.
I mean, because supposedly they sweep, right? The Secret Service checks for anything, like if somebody could have planted a bomb.
Well, that's what
they didn't find the cocaine till Sunday night, so they're saying Hunter couldn't have left it. He was not there on Sunday or Saturday.
Well, they claim they sweep. Maybe they didn't.
They overlooked it.
Yeah, maybe it was well hidden.
Yeah, it could be Hunter Biden, but honestly,
who's the number?
I care about as much as I care about Britney Spears getting slapped.
I've been watching the slap over and over again. I can't get enough of that.
All right. When we return, what's left is what's left. The rest of the Moist Line callers, John and Ken, KFI AM 640. Wait a minute. I'm in the moment here. It comes in the morning.
It comes. Sometimes it does.
What comes in the morning? Bowel movements?
I was going to say diarrhea.
It comes in the morning.
AM 640. Live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You've been hearing in the traffic the northbound 5 closed at Burbank. It looks like a smoky backpack. That's a new one. The bomb squad is there. They're investigating in case it's some big explosive materials. So that's a headache on a Friday afternoon.
Smoking backpack.
The northbound 5 in Burbank. Smoky backpack? Smoky materials? Let's exit. But before we do, let's hear from the Moist Line callers. You can leave a message either one of two ways. Go to the iHeartRadio app, look for the microphone icon, drop your message there. Call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86.
Hey, this is John. And this is Ken. We're so excited to hear from you. It's about time.
Mayor Bassetti is such a liar. These people are practically fresh off the bus, coming from other cities and states so they can come here and vomit all over our streets on their drugs and alcohol. Thank you, Mayor Bassetti.
Cocaine was found in the White House, and these are the people we're supposed to take our health advice from. The ones with cocaine stuffed in their offices, it's ridiculous.
Call me crazy, but don't they search people prior to entering the White House? Maybe somebody should take a sniff and see where it was.
Homeless is a political issue because it's votes. It's Democrat, liberal, cockroach votes.
I don't believe anything that John Cobalt says.
What?
I'll bet the safest place to do cocaine and not have anybody walk in on you in the White House would be the library.
I just wanted to give you a heads up. None of these RVs run. Most of them don't even have engines in them to even get them to run. That's why these homeless are living in them. They're inoperable.
Cocaine! I love cocaine. I figured it out through my investigation who cocaine that was. It was Kamala Harris. Nobody acts that goofy and that stupid and not being high. Hell, I wish I was her dealer. I'd make a fortune. But it's Kamala Harris's cocaine.
Dissing to the lying media, lying anti-cop activists, while your brave deputies are lawfully making an arrest of two assault suspects who are resisting. What an embarrassment the sheriff is to law enforcement.
Give me his name. I consider you to be walking encyclopedias.
You know, I think that the released prisoners should be up next for the reparations. I just personally feel like their service should not go unnoticed.
Wake up. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Kamala Harris is going to be blamed for this cocaine, and she's going to be forced to resign. They're going to pick Governor Newsom to be the new vice president, and then they're going to run him for president in 2024. This is basically like a Hollywood script while the script writers are on strike.
I don't know what the big deal is about those sheriff's deputies arresting those people in the grocery store parking lot. It happens 1,000 times a day. Suspects can do it the easy way or the hard way. They did nothing wrong. You can use as much force as reasonably necessary to make an arrest. Sheriff Lunatic is an embarrassment to law enforcement. He needs to resign immediately.
With all those RVs parked, why isn't anybody talking about the county, the city, and the state getting together and getting all these different, you know, property lines and stuff figured out to where somebody's going to have to surrender part of it? Because you always hear the same discussion. Well, that's county land. Oh, that's city land. Always. Oh, that 20 feet over there is the state land. Why don't they just get it together and just fix all that problem so these aren't issues anymore?
Thank you for leaving your message. Please hang up. Goodbye.
You know, considering it was a couple of weeks before we, since we played Moistline calls, a lot of them made sense.
Yeah, well, the cocaine story broke the dam there. Everybody's got a theory on it.
They're dragging Kamala Harris into it since we just played that clip of her on Culture. I don't know, you know.
I'm thinking edibles are a real possibility because somebody like her can't actually smoke joints all the time because you'd smell it, right? People would talk. It would get in the news. But okay, she could have a purse full of edibles, and she's just popping gummies all day.
And I'm wondering, when she's given these big public speaking things to talk off the top of her head, if she does take that to calm herself, take something.
Right. Because
those laughing fits, that's also kind of similar to someone who's...
Right. So stoned.
It could be a vape cartridge, too. Those don't smell.
Could be a vape cartridge. But doesn't that come the closest to the way people act when they're stoned? I mean, that kind of behavior.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't think of another. I just
like the way the Moistline mob just moved on from Hunter Biden. Now they think it's Kamala Harris who left the cocaine in the White House.
it's got to be that. It'll come out someday. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if she or Biden get bounced off the ticket because, man, that is a bad stinking ticket. That is a loser ticket.
The polls say that people don't want Biden or Trump, but that could be what we're looking at.
Yeah, but she's holding him back because if they had a real vice president, Biden would get a lot more support.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, but you mentioned the concept of Kamala Harris being the president, and people laugh.
Yeah, I don't take it seriously.
They giggle the way she giggles. I mean, it's an absurd idea.
All right,
we're done. We got Orny Adams coming in Tim Conway. And we've got Sandy Wells in for Michael Crozier. Apparently,
anybody working this week?
Nobody comes in anymore.
I guess the July 4th holiday, people just
pushed now,
right on through the rest of the week with the week off.
It's now a 9-day holiday. It starts from the Saturday before to the Sunday after. So,
All right.
We'll see.
Coming up next, we'll see you on Monday.
All right. John and Ken, Sandy Wells has the news live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.